Today is Saturday, the 11th of March 2023, and we are all gathered here for the 73rd session on Mindfulness for Beginners from Nisarnavane Forest Monastery. And today, to our benefit, we have Venerable Sister Rohini, representing Nisarnavane Forest Monastery, joining into today's session to provide us with much valued insight and advice on how to further our mindful practice. So on behalf of all of us, I would like to welcome with much respect Venerable Sister Rohini for into this program, into this session. And I would also, along with that, I would also like to welcome all of those who are joining through the Zoom session and also through the live streaming via the Satipasala Foundation's Facebook page. So with that, I would give you a small rundown of how the program will proceed. First, we will have the in-session mindfulness practice to get you accustomed into the session, and then we will proceed with the talk on mindfulness for today, and then we will move on to the question and answer session, where we will present the reports received for today and also provide you the chance to present your own questions on mindfulness in a verbal format. And then we will wrap up the program for today. So with that, I would invite Venerable Sister to commence with the session proceedings, starting off with in-session mindfulness practice. Over to our Venerable Sister. Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Sister.
Okay. Thank you, Namanta. Good day, everyone. As usual, today we are here. So the first thing in the program, usually doing a mindful activity. So I think today we are going to do mindful walking. So walking is, we all know, walking is a good exercise for the body. But adding that mindfulness into that, is giving the extra, or it, I can say, enrich the advantage. It's because the mindfulness give you your brain exercise. So when you walk mindfully, that your body and the brain, or body and the mind, both get exercise. So both have kind of cleansing. So, in keeping that mind, we will start the mindful walking session because that if you can keep that mind in mind, then you can see the benefit of that. So, seeing that benefit, you will have a more courage or more effort to do this. So, we'll start. Saying that, I would remind you, for mindful walking, you can use the best is sand path. Sometimes it's good green grasses or something like that. Otherwise, just normal soil surface, just normal earth. Or at least tile or cement, carpet choice. Better than tile or cement. So whatever you can find at this time, please use. And for sitting, not like sitting, we need to have a path. At least 15-20 steps you can walk. So choose a path, whatever the path you choose, so maybe on the tile floor or sand path or whatever it is. You can stand one end of the path. Standing one end, you can close your eyes and observe your bodily feelings. When you close your eyes, it is little bit easy than opening eyes. So close your eyes at the end of the path and observe your feelings. Feeling that you feel and that you recognize that you are standing. You are not sitting. You are not lying. You are not walking. So among those four postures, now you are standing. So you may feel that the body weight on your feet, or maybe you can feel that the straight body, whatever the feeling. If you are outside, you may feel that the breeze, the cold air or the warm air, wherever you are. So whatever you are, you feel, just observe it. Just try to focus on the feeling. So close eyes and observe them. Then in a minute or even before that, if for a practitioner, your mind will have a collectiveness to your body. So with that calmness, you can start, you can open your eyes and start walking. So the walking is need to be in a comfortable way. I mean, we can't say that you need to go fast or you need to go slow. There's nothing we can say about the speed. It need to be chosen by you. It is, you know, sometimes the morning speed is different from afternoon, even the one person, for one person. So choose your speed according to your body knowledge, according to what your body says. So from one end to the other end, walk. Observing how you feel. How you feel that I am walking. I'm not sitting, I'm not standing, or I'm not lying. I'm just now walking. So maybe you will feel that the body weight is shifting from one leg to the other. Or maybe you feel that the knee, bending knee. Or maybe you feel that the surface of roughness or the coldness or the hotness or whatever you feel from the surface. You can focus on anything that is prominent. Anything that is prominent, take it as an object to focus. Saying that, it is not easy. While you are walking, your mind will roam around. While you are walking, your mind will walk somewhere else, or without even notice. So, whenever that happens, remember, it is your responsibility, your job right now is to keep that mind in the given object. So given object is walking feet. So walking posture. So remember that anytime you notice that my mind is in somewhere else, maybe it is sound. Maybe it is just forming with thoughts or some other things. But whenever you notice that, please bring your attention to walking feet or walking body. So that is some usually simple way of doing that. So in addition, I would like to add something more. If you feel or if you find that it is difficult to keep your mind in one place or keep your mind in the walking body or walking feet, so you can use a counting method. Counting method is when you put your left leg, count one, and the, when you put the right leg, count same as one, not two. So there's the a pair, one left foot and the right foot also one. And the next time when the left foot come forward, it is two. And the right one is two again. So three and three again. Likewise, you can count up to five or six, not for long. Count up to five or six and then start from the beginning, from one, two, like that. So you can use that also. Sometimes it is easy in that way. So you have something to focus, some another thing to focus. Or sometimes we say, if you can walk like a catwalk, you know, maybe you know, everyone knows the catwalk who's modeling, people are walking. So you can use keeping a mind in a single line. So this is my line and walk on that like a cat. So those things are just as strategies to keep your mind in one place. So you can use anything suitable for you. So likewise, now we can practice for a few minutes. Until bell rang, I think. Okay, so if there's no any bell ringing, so we can stop and stop the mindful walking. Okay, now the next event is the talk, isn't it?
Yes, Manuel.
Okay. As I came to know that now this program has a topic given for a month. So this month topic is dealing with conflict. Dealing with conflict is the topic. As a human or even as a any being, we have to face a lot of things. We have to face, as a human, economical crisis, health crisis, other natural disasters, so many things we have to face. So among those things, the dealing with conflict, this very hard and very painful thing, actually. Because it make you sad, make you angry, that leads you on, you know, according to Kalaha Vivada Sutta, it leads you for quarrels and, you know, other disputes. So, dealing with conflict is a very, very important topic actually. In this world, while we are living, in every relationship, once in a while, or sometimes more often, we will have conflicts. Conflicts between, within family, husband and wife. Conflict between parents and children. Conflicts between friends. Or in the workplace. There are so many, I mean, if there is any relationship, there is we can expect a conflict because everyone is not thinking in same way. All are not same. So we have different views. Each and everyone has the different views. So what is happening, I think my view is the right one. That someone else think that person's view is the right one. So it is the beginning of conflict. Only the view. But other than that, the views coming through your defilements, if we say, so you are proud. If you are a proud person, if you have more conceit, that person have more conflicts, I think. Whatever the reason, the conflicts is a unavoidable thing in the society. So we need to learn how to deal. It is very important. So conflicts arise with this view most of the time. For example, if I say like this, just imagine John and me working for a company. So John wants to see a project running. But me, I don't like that project. So I have some arguments, or maybe some views or my opinions. I'm showing those things. That means the John's idea is against mine, or my idea is against John. Whatever the reason, then there's a conflict. But remember, the reason was the project. I don't like that project, but John liked that project. But ultimately, when you go into the conflict level, deep level, there is no project at the end, then the conflict between John and me. That is the problem. Because if it is only the project, then we can discuss. John and I can discuss why I don't like, or what is the pros and cons. No, we can discuss. But when it comes to the level that the conflict is between the John and me, that is the problem. Because most of the conflicts are in that level. We forget the subject. We forget the matter. We forget the reason for the conflict. So these are the problem. This is the hurtful feeling. So this conflict, if you go to the internet, search for how to deal with conflict, you will get thousands of opinions, ideas. You follow this, you follow that. You know, the lot of ideas, lot of opinions. But still, we have to talk about the dealing with conflicts. Why? Why is this? Because those things, people can say, I heard many times people say, even very well-known people says, okay, let go. I'm asking you, and I'm asking myself sometimes, can we let go many things? Can we? People can say, okay, let it go. But we can't. It is not easy. It is not easy to let go. Why? Because there is a me. Like I said before, I am John. So I have conceit. I don't want to, my pride actually. My pride says, okay, it is not okay for someone like me. If I say something, others should listen. So if we put that away, the myself, I am, little bit away, then there is a easy, or there is a no hard feeling actually. It is easy. It is rather than letting go, accepting that this is a matter, this is the conflict, not me or someone else. The conflict arise from the project, or arise from the view, or arise from the relationship. How you deal with the other relationships, or how you talk, whatever the reason. So if you can recognize the conflict, the most important thing is my knowledge, if you can recognize the conflict, what it is, this is sarati. If you can recognize the conflict, the origin of the conflict, the cause of the conflict, then you can analyze it. So analyzing part, in that part, you need to keep I or myself little bit away. If you want to analyze the conflict, then you have to put myself away, little bit away, and it in open plate. So that openness is need. That openness, we know that openness is must. But the thing is, we can't do that. Why? Why we can't do that? Sometimes I ask people, when they come to us, we give them 5 precepts or 8 precepts or whatever the code of conducts. Whatever the religion, there are some like precepts. But every time they get it, but they can't protect. As they said, okay, I am going to protect, I am going to keep this precept, but they can't because they are not mindful. If you are mindful, then you can, your mind will say, okay, don't do this because you are a 5 preceptor or because you are 8 preceptor. But you, if you are not mindful, it will not say. Your mind will not give you a reminder. Likewise, in conflicts also, if you are not mindful, then, you know, when I go through a website or when you go through a website, you will, those opinions will say that you have to have good communication, you have to be a good listener, you know, to solve the problems or deal with the conflicts, and you know, so many things. I'm just asking, can we be a good communicator? Can we be a good listener without being a mindful practitioner, without being a mindful person? Because when something happens in between, in the workplace or at home or in the road or wherever, when something happens, if you are not mindful, the all the feelings, emotional feelings come forward. So those emotional feelings cover with all the other things, like, you know, you are a good person, you are a respectable person, you are a valuable person, or at home, I am the mom or I am the dad, I should not behave like this. So, you know, so many things we need to be careful when you are talking, when we are listening in a conflict situation. But thing is, can we do that? Without mindfulness, can we do that? It is not easy. It is not easy unless you are mindful. So if you want to solve a problem or solve a conflict, you need to be mindful first of all. So if you are not mindful, then you can't analyze or you can't recognize the source of the problem. You can't recognize the problem itself, actually. Otherwise, what will happen, we put myself into that problem and analyze it in that way. So if I put myself into the problem and analyze, then it is bias. It is not people. It will not good for every people. So if I or if you can put away myself or being this conflict with me and the other people, or me and my husband, or me and my children, or whatever it is, if I can put away the myself or the other people, that's a myself. If there is a myself, then there's other people also. So if we can put away that myself and others from the conflict, then it is easy. So in Buddhist concepts, actually, Sarati Vivarati Uttana Karoti, they say, when you recognize there is a conflict, if you can realize or if you can analyze it, the conflict, there is an opportunity with this to overcome. Open enough to look at them, you will not see. So if you are not open enough, that means you need to put away yourself from that position, that conflict. For example, if I get this, okay. Now we just before we had a mindful walk. So I ask you all to do mindful walk and ask you to observe the bodily feeling. When you walk, observe your bodily feeling. Keep your mind on bodily feelings. So what is happening? What has happened actually? So while you are walking, you need to focus on the body, the walking body. But does mind agree with it? No. Mind want to walk around in some other places with some people or some chain of thoughts. It is the mind doesn't want to keep focusing on the walking body. Mind doesn't need it. Mind doesn't want it actually. So there is a conflict. There is a conflict between you and your mind while you are walking, while you are practicing the walking, mindful walking. So that conflict, if you are not mindful enough, then there's a conflict. So that means you are sad. Maybe you feel, okay, I am the only one. I can't keep my mind focused in one place. This is happening to me. You know, so many things will think. So many things will come to your mind, thinking that only I am the only one. I am the only one that can't practice like this. So everybody else can. So likewise, there's a conflict in between you and your mind too. While we are practicing mindfulness, even sitting position, if you are focusing on sitting posture, or if you are focusing on breath. The breath is not always the mind focus. Mind is roaming around. Mind is entangled with the chain of thoughts. But what is happening? The mind is in conflict with you. So it's the same thing. It is the same thing happening in outside. So inside you, there are so many conflicts every time. What you want to do is not what mind is doing, what mind is giving, or what mind is how do you call presenting. So just imagine if you can't make that mind keep wherever you want. If you can't do that, so how can we deal the conflict with other people? This is my mind. I say it is mine. So I do things according to what mind says. So, but there is a conflict. If we give some work to do, the mind doesn't listen. You are not practicing well. If you are a beginner, especially, there are always conflicts. So look at when you practice mindfulness. Look at that conflicts. So even not only for the beginners, even for advanced people, advanced practitioners, have those conflicts. That's why those Kamatahan Varta, the reports are there. Because there are conflicts. What is happening is not accepted by mind. The mind is saying, okay, this has happened, but I can't believe, or I can't accept it. Is something wrong? That is all the reports are saying. So there is a conflict also. So First try to find the way to deal the conflicts within you. Those conflicts, if you can find easily, or if you can put effort to find those conflicts and do without complaining. So I'm not saying that you should not write reports. I'm saying that all the reports are coming because of that conflict in between you and your mind. So likewise, this mind and you are the one who is dealing with the other conflicts. So just don't think we can let go. Just people says, okay, let go. If there is a conflict, then a mediator can involve, and they can say, okay, just ignore it, or just let go, or just accept it. It is not easy. I'm saying, if you want to deal with conflict, practice the mindfulness. Practice mindfulness. The mindfulness itself, going through a journey, it takes you a journey that to deal with conflict within you. Those practice or that practice is very, very helpful for dealing with other conflicts. So my today, that's what I wanted to say actually. So if you are able to practice mindfulness daily basis for a few, maybe 30 minutes, 1 hour or so, then you are having a better communication skills also. Without put your more effort to communication, that mindfulness practice itself give you a courage and ability to have a good communication skills. I mean, good communication means not good more effort to practice that. How do I communicate? Just practice mindfulness, then it will guide you to be a good communicator. The mindfulness itself will guide you to a good listener. If you are a good listener and if you are a good communicator, the most conflicts can dissolve. Because most of the conflicts are begin with wrong communication or wrong listening. For example, most of the time when we talk with other people, just notice, if you are not noticed so far, just try to notice that. Whenever we say something, for children, if we say something, they listen only the beginning of the sentence. The end, they don't know what they said. And we also doing the same. We don't know what the end of the sentence. And before that, after listening to the beginning, we put our thoughts in there, in between. So that means when you put your thoughts in there, this is the beginning of conflict. So before going to deal, our Loka Swami Nansa always says that the Veda Kamata Vada Heda Kam, the precaution, it is the best to be like that. The mindfulness is the best remedy or best medicine. So saying that, I'm not sure how long I need to talk about this. What I want to say is, first deal with your conflict within you. While you are doing mindfulness practice, you do mindfulness practice, and while you are doing mindfulness practice, deal with that conflicts within you, you and your mind. So that the practice leads you to be a good listener and a good communicator, and that means that good communication skills. And also that leadership skills will help you to guide through conflict situation. So be mindful, practice mindfulness, and deal with your conflict within you, and that will help you to resolve or face to conflicts with other people. So saying that, I am winding up. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Venerable Sister, for that insightful talk on mindfulness, on the subject of dealing with conflict, a very related topic for our everyday life. So I hope all of you gathered a great insight there. I would like to now invite Lushani to commence with the Q&A session for today's program. Thank you, Lushani.
Thank you, Ramantha. Avasarai, Venerable Rohini. And again, thank you very much for that very insightful talk. And I think we have one report today. Before I start with the report, I just want to very quickly give some instructions. I think it's very useful. You wanted us to practice mindfulness. So just for the beginners who are joining the session today, we have some guidance on how to develop the mindfulness. So I believe, my Rajika, are you going to share the screen? Otherwise, I can share the screen as well to give the guidance notes. Thank you, Rajika. So as you can see, so some very basic instructions. There are two videos that you can watch, one on mindful walking and one on mindful sitting. There are the links. I think Namantha has posted the links on the chat as well. So please download it and watch it. And this will give you some very good guidance on how to develop your mindfulness through mindful walking and mindful sitting practice. I would say start with at least a good 10 or 15 minutes to start with, and then increase it slightly. It's really good if you can get an hour each every day of both mindfulness walking and mindfulness sitting practice. Once you've done that, whenever you start to do your practice, put down the notes into a report. Venerable Rohini mentioned this in her talk as well. It's really good to have a reflection report as you start your practice, just putting down sort of your experiences through both the mindful walking and the mindful sitting practice. And then you can send those reports through two means so that we can read it out during the session. As you can see there is a Google form that you can fill, or you can also email it to beginnersnv@gmail.com. And then we will read out the reports, and then, or you can put out any questions you have, and Venerable Rohini or Bhante Dhammakusala will address those reports and give you further guidance on how to develop the practice. Like I said, continue to develop your mindful practice according to the advice given then during these sessions. And that concludes the guidance on how to develop mindfulness practice, a daily mindfulness practice. With that, Venerable Rohini Avasarai, there is one report today. If we can stop sharing the screen, Namantha, so I can read the report. Thank you. Let me just get the report up on screen. There's one report for today. I will start the report now. It's on mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion and adjusted the posture into a balanced position. As usual, a quick body scan took place, then became aware of the breath around the nostrils area prominently. In-breath was cooler and out-breath was warmer. Attention stayed with beginning, middle, and the end of each breath for a while. Became aware of thoughts arising from time to time and how these passed away. mind naturally returned to the sensations of breath. Breath was shorter and subtle now. Notice the slight movement back and forth. This continued in the background while the attention returned to the breath. Noted pulsating energy moving through the body a couple of times. Awareness returned to the breath. Felt a sense of peace and lightness. Continued to note the breath. Sat for 50 minutes. When reflecting after the practice, it was noted that while the energy was there to sit for longer, the eyes opened after 50 minutes, which is the familiar period of sitting practice in the past couple of months. Mindful walking. Walked on wooden floor. The part of the path had a thick rug too. Soles of each foot noted prominently at the beginning. Noted the temperature and texture difference of the wood and of the rug. Steps on the rug felt softer, warmer, and the arch of the heel also had contact with the thick rug. Steps on the wood felt colder, harder, and arch of heel had no contact with the wood. Lightness of the lifted foot and the weight of the foot placed on the floor also noted. Thoughts would come and go, but there was no urge to hook onto these. Walking had a more natural rhythm now. Walked for 25 minutes. Mindfulness during the day. Having taken on board the suggestion last week from Venerable Bhante, decided to note the conflicting senses while trying to watch the inner struggle without getting carried away by these. It wasn't easy, as became aware of how easy it was for one sense to fight for attention to itself over other senses. For example, while walking from home, attention was grabbed by the sense of sound, doorbell ringing. Almost automatically moved away from the computer and walked to open the door. On the way, noted the thought bubbling in the mind, wondering, who's at the door? Is it a delivery? Is it an inconvenient time right now? The work needs to be finished soon. Why couldn't another family member attend to the doorbell, etc., etc.? After returning to the work task, mind became aware of these mental proliferations, which served no purpose. Sense of sound was highlighted when the doorbell rang. But a more peaceful intervention would have been to simply open the door, attend to whatever it was, and to return to the task at hand again calmly. Instead, the sense of thought took over with unnecessary storytelling and experiencing the associated emotions of agitation. In another event, the inner conflict was about not wanting to go to a musical show where the tickets were already booked. When originally asked a couple of months ago by my husband, I had agreed to this, so felt under pressure to go. Suddenly the awareness of not wanting to go to the show feels like this came up in mind. With this awareness, tightness in the shoulders and the facial muscles relaxed. Going to the show was not seen as a waste of time anymore, but as an opportunity to experiment further with what senses would grab attention over others during the event. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to Bhante and the organizers. Avasarai Venerable Rohini, that's the end of the report. I think it appears, Venerable Rohini, that was the end of the report.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, yes.
Okay, I did freeze a little while. Okay. That's actually a good report. My talk, it's remind me that I also said that within the conflict within your conflict need to deal with. So it is explaining it very well in here. Day-to-day life and mindfulness. So how you deal with that thoughts, chain of thoughts, And it is, but seeing that, recognizing that, that conflict within you is the most important thing. So for a practitioner, a mindfulness practitioner, that seeing it. So while you are walking from working place to the door, how many thoughts, unnecessary thoughts, chain of thoughts came to you? So that is the reality. That is the reality. That seeing it within you is the best thing a mindfulness practitioner can observe. So now you know how is your mind. Now you know what is happening within you. So take it as advantage and practice more diligently. And don't look at them as with judgment. It is wrong or it is not good, or what I thought about people, other people, about the family members or whatever it is. Don't judge those thoughts. Just observe them as it is. So if you're going to judge, then that conflict, what I talk about in my talk, is coming through then. So if you are judgmental about your thoughts, then frustration is arising. That is not good for the practice. So without any frustration, the thoughts are thoughts. It comes and go. So just try to observe them. Just try to observe without judgment, yeah, or without giving any gravity. Right? This is good thought, this is bad thought, or this is neutral thoughts. You don't need to. Just look at them. Just be mindful about the thoughts. About that, mention about day-to-day practice and walking meditation. If you can a little bit improve the from 25 minutes to at least 30 minutes, 35 minutes, a little bit more, 1 minute at a time. If you can do that, it will be, you will benefit it actually. If you can improve the time, you can increase the time, walking time. And the other thing is, if you say that arch, you don't feel the arch. That's true. But you know, you don't feel that. That is the miracle in there. So even though you don't feel it, you know that. So we think usually the whatever we feel, only the feelings we observe. But there is no feelings, but there is no contact with the arch and the wherever you walk. But still you know it. So this is the power of mindfulness actually. So please keep on like that. And if you can, please increase the walking time. And if you can, walk before sitting. And I think that you are progressing good.
Thank you, Venerable Rohini. So with that, we conclude today's reports. Now we can open this session to Q&A. So if you have any questions, please raise your Zoom hand and we will give you the opportunity to ask Venerable Rohini your questions. Anyone who wants to ask a question? Yes, I can see Samantha, you have raised your hand. Please go ahead. You can unmute yourself and ask your question. Thank you.
Thank you, Dashani. Thank you, Venerable, for taking my question. I really enjoyed today's session as well. The guidance and the talk was really helpful. But my question is just about, when everything is mindful, you know, we had to be aware, mindful. Now I understand. And I think obviously this mindfulness will increase as we practice with the beautifully guided meditation instructions that Venerable explained today. That was very helpful, and also along with the breathing meditation that we do as well, hopefully every day, try to practice. But the problem is now with conflict. So if we are aware, now Venerable said that be aware of the conflict within the mind. So in situations like when you're, obviously we are communicating with parties at work and everything, we had to come to solutions or projects, etc., for example, there are differences in opinions. And so say if I'm aware of, okay, there's of my conflict, say my conflict is coming through anger or hatred or jealousy or whatever it is, then I can say, okay, that's my ego, right? I'm aware of it. And I let it go, you know, that's not, it's you know, not helping the situation. But however, if the other party, I'm not saying I'm right, but if the other party is coming with a really, with a very different opinion and a very unreasonable, and it's obvious, you know, and so how can one just accept and let it go, you know, knowing, there has to be, it's just not mindful, that there has to be a bit of a, inject a bit of reasoning and maybe the right view or sort of a wisdom. What is the right view in a way, and how to approach this conflict in a way that is not just merely accepting and letting it go? That's what I was just wondering, Bhante. Yeah. I mean, Venerable Sister, thank you.
Good question, because I will put this way. Now you are not, I'm not saying you are not a good practitioner, but you need to practice more and more to to deal with outsiders. Mm. So we can say, you know, let it go. You can't do that.
No, yeah.
I can say, or someone else can say, or manager maybe can say, okay, let it go. But you can't. It's not easy. That's why we practice. We practice mindfulness. So through that, we find the reasons. You know, like I think that report, US report, eh?
No, that wasn't mine.
In this report, the person described about the thought, the chain of thoughts. So that is happening every time, you know, every single minute, every single second, that is what happening within us. So if we can find it easily, if we can focus on that chain of thoughts, then we can have a good communication skills and good listening skills. So if the other part of the conflict, you know, the other party of the conflict is arrogant, maybe it's not a reasonable thinking, whatever it is, if we are mindful about the thought, the chain of thoughts, what will happen next, so then we can use metta, karuna, mudita, upekkha. It is the four things. I'm not thinking that this is a religious program, but I need to say this. This is what we need to do, because as soon as we recognize the conflict, as soon as we can analyze the conflict, so that analyzing part is happening within you, inside you. So if you can observe it, if you can be a mindful person about those thoughts, then the practitioner, I mean, skilled practitioner can put either metta, karuna, mudita or upekkha in forward. It takes time, actually. You need to be patient and practice more. Then you will realize how effective that the mindfulness, the power of mindfulness is. It is, you can't explain in words. So you need to practice it and experience it.
Like I see what you're saying.
Whenever the conflicts happen, the mindfulness need to be a forerunner, saying, this is what is happening, this is what happening, and this is the thoughts you will expect. And you know that thought is coming, the anger thoughts, hatred thoughts, the sad thoughts, you know, the one after another, one after another, it's coming. So you are just, how do you call it, watching it. If you can put that mindfulness into that level, then it is easy. But before that, we can say, okay, let go, or just accept it is. No, it is not easy. I'm not saying it is easy. We can say, people can say, but the practice is the most important thing. While you are practicing, you will see yourself the improvement.
I see what you're saying, Venerable. Yes. Maybe at this stage, sorry, Venerable.
No, go ahead, please.
Sorry, I was going to say, you just reminded me. So the more I practice, the more I'll be able to, if my mindfulness increase, I'll be able to be more mindful on the situation. And then even if it's without getting angry, if I have an angry thought, without lashing out or thinking, I'll be able to, if I'm mindful, just walk away to have a calm mind, then the solution will come to me eventually, hopefully.
Yeah, just think when you are angry, but the other person is doing, making you angry. But you are angry within yourself, you know that you feel that the redness and the heat is coming up, and you feel the bodily changes, and you see the thoughts are coming. But if you are mindful, on those things. So what is happening, the other person, whatever they say, you can smile. You can have a good, not the aggressive face.
So
can you think of if someone can blame or if someone can scold you when you are smiling?
No,
that is the metta, karuna, mudita, upeka. It's come. You can't practice. Oh, I am practicing. Everyone is supateva or be happy. And it is not what I am saying. When you are practicing mindfulness, it comes automatically because you are observer, good observer.
Thank you, Venerable. That will inject in. That's really helpful. Thank you, Buddha Saranai.
Thank you, Samantha. I can see Namantha has raised his hand. Namantha, over to you.
Thank you, Lushani. I appreciate Samantha's question here because it's connected to the title of the session today, my conflict. And I think in a professional setting, if somebody has a very different opinion of what has to be done on a particular work task, I'm talking about something that happens in a work environment where you are working in a salaried job, then you cannot run away saying, okay, I'm going to let it go, this and that. Then it will reflect badly on your performance when your performance checks are going to happen. And so I think if you feel that you are not in line with the what the other person is saying, sometimes it could be immediate manager, then you need to assess your options clearly, whether it is to take a very frontal approach, showcasing your intentions, the constraints that apply to your performance, those sort of things, or whether it is you need to observe the process a bit further and take an action later, or whether you need to reach out to human resources personnel, because many times I've worked in, I've had this conflict where there were kind of malintentioned parties playing around with the work tasks given to us. And then what happened was mindfulness helped me to better decide what are the options to take and assess the balance of my strengths and the situational threats at that time, and take a very, very subtle approach to get these things resolved without, kind of surrendering too much to their bad intentions, I might say, because in some corporate workplaces, you do get multiple personalities, different personalities, as Venerable Manio said. So I think mindfulness does not make you kind of go lame and say, I let go and I shut down my eyes, I shut my eyes, I just, freeze myself and become insensitive.
I think we've lost connection from Namanta, so I can see Panchani has raised her hand. Panchani, do you want to ask your question? Panchani, you can unmute yourself. Panchani, you can ask your question.
Hello, Lushani, and hello, Venerable Rohini. I just wanted to share some of my experiences, because what Venerable Rohini said today, I have experienced it within the last week, when I was so mindful, at one moment, my metta, karuna, mudita, upekkha did come to the forefront, and that came automatically. And I completely agree with what Venerable Rohini said. And I just wanted to share one of my experiences within last week. I experienced a really strong heartache, like I have not experienced in my life in my last week. And within that week, I realized I was burning, like this happened with my family. I was burning inside and I was burning for a whole day. And I was just watching my burning, like I was carrying on with all my daily tasks like normal. I was going to work, but I was burning. So I was watching my burning, but I was able to carry on with my burning. But then I actually analyzed, like Venerable Rohini said, I started to analyze why am I burning? Why am I losing my peace? I have been very peaceful in my mind, like very less conflict for a very long time. And then I realized it's actually my cravings coming into forefront, like my cravings towards my family members, you know. That is my avidya here, my ignorance. So then I detached from my craving, and then I started to look at it in another angle. And then my metta, karuna, mudita, upekkha did come into forefront. And my metta was so strong, and I was able to, like, even the conflict got resolved automatically. My mind was peaceful again. And so I was back to my normal peace. But for a day, I was burning. And within that, I learned. So I really, really completely agree with what Venerable Rohini said today. Just wanted to share my experience.
Thank you.
Yeah, if you practice more and more, you will realize it more and more. So practice it, and it is very, very important that actually the feedback. Let feedback and encourage other people. Thank you, Panchanini.
Yes, Panchanini. Thank you, Venerable Rohini. Thank you, Panchani, for sharing that with us. It's very encouraging as well as very helpful for everyone in the group. So thank you very much. I can see Bandula has also raised his hand, and Hemamali. First, Bandula, do you want to ask your question? And then we'll come to Hemamali.
Thank you, Lushani. Venerable sister. I just want to simply add, I totally agree with Venerable Sister that the practice is the main thing, because it strengthens you and it gives you so much energy to deal with conflicts between you. Reference to if someone blame you, or if you are not agree with someone, so with the practice, what I'm trying to do these days, I was just thinking about, should I try to fix the other person, or should I look at myself? Say, if I try to put my opinion, and if the other person is not accepting it, so is that person in a bit of a mentally turmoil, or it's like emotionally work out, there's no point talking to that person. So I was thinking it's better take some time, or just talk to the person later and put your the views or ideas across to him, rather you try to fix the other person. So, and same time, I look at myself, because it's opportunity to look at you and how your anger eyes or how you are emotionally working out. So take it for advantage. So what I'm trying to say, fixing other person is not my responsibility unless it is a purpose or it is useful. So otherwise, it's not the, and it should be the right time. So thank you, sister.
Okay, I agree with you. Actually, there's no right or wrong in those situations. Because if you try to correct that person, it might be a more complex situation. It might create more complex situations. So the keep silent is sometimes the best. Later on, maybe if the other person is calmed down and if the other person is in a mood to accept whatever you say, and if it is what you are saying is the truth according to your knowledge, and then at that time you can say. Otherwise, the silence is the best. And look at your mind, look at what you are going through is the best, because we can't change other people. Even we can't change myself. I can't change myself. Just to observe is the only thing we can do. Just to observe who am I, and accordingly, we need to adjust. We need to adjust to the society. So, thinking that, my advice is, look at the right moment to tell someone else their faults. Because if you are talking in a wrong time, that will make the situation worse. So, yeah, you are doing right. So do that. But it depends on, yeah, like if that other person is in a danger, then you have to say. Otherwise, waiting is the best.
Thank you, sister.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Venerable. There's lots of questions and observations today. So, hey, Mamali, it's over to you now. If you want to unmute yourself and then ask your question. Namath, I don't know. Maybe we need to unmute, hey, Mamali.
Yes, she can unmute now.
Hey, Mamali, I've given you the option of unmuting.
Hear me now?
Yes.
Yes, I can hear you now.
Can you hear me? Yeah. I just want to show my experience once I had. I can feel the anger on the angry person, the hotness, the burning sensation of the angry person, and then you can be sympathize on him. I feel like that also. Just the solution, Bhante. Thank you.
Yeah, true. Because once my experience is same while I was in lay life. I had a very rough manager, actually. So I look at her like that day, in that day, because he's burning. I can see it. So I have that empathy towards her. So that is one time I used the empathy or sympathetic joy or karuna metta. Yeah. So you whatever it come, whatever come forward, use it. So that will help to calm. Actually, that it helped me to calm my mind. So it is true.
Thank you, Venerable, and thank you, Hemamali. Rajika, you have your hand up. Over to you.
Avasarai Manio, thank you for the opportunity, Lushani. Manio, I just want to mention 2 points. I really appreciate and agree with Manio, like when you said like there's no right or wrong thing in this world. Like I used to, you know, argue with people with certain things. Those days, but when I heard that the sutta called Nasanti Sutta, and it says, Purisasa kamo sankaparago purisasa kamo, like people do not attach to the outside thing, they attach to the sankapa, their thoughts. So then once I realized that it, like I think what I see, what I think is right, the other person think what he or she thinks is right, so we both argue with the in 2 different aspects, so there's no point of arguing. So that's where I realize that there's no point of arguing with someone else because his perspective is different. So it kind of understanding after listening to that sutta, it automatically I lost the interest of having arguments with other people. And the second thing I really appreciate, Manu mentioned about the conflicts within, and I think that's the my takeaway in today's talk. Instead of dealing with outside conflicts, I think today onwards I'll focus on conflicts within myself, within my thoughts. So then,
I can't hear you.
Can others hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, Rajika.
Yes.
I think Venerable Rohini is probably having. I can see her screen's frozen. So I think she's dropped out as well now.
Yes, internet.
Oh, well, she's back. She's back, Rajika. Continue.
Manio,
Venerable's back. You can continue, Rajika.
Yeah,
last part I couldn't hear, Rajika.
Yes, Manio, what I said is like I really like the thing that Manio talk about, the context within, like instead of, you know, dealing with the conflicts outside, I understanding I have conflicts within myself, and dealing with those conflicts is the more important thing than dealing with the outside conflict. So that's what I'm taking today from your talk, this program. I really appreciate bringing that up to this program, man. Thank you very much. Much merits to you.
Yeah, you are right. Because until we have no view, so we have view.
Yes.
So that make you the trouble. That is the forerunner, the view. So every time I think my view is the right, every time I think, although my view is wrong, they should not say that like that. So that is the sakkayaditti. Yeah, so if you, until you have a sammaditti, the no view time, so you have to struggle with conflicts within you and with the outsiders as well. So once you deal with your conflicts within you, then it is easy to deal with others, actually. That is the truth.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Venerable, and thank you, Rajika, for sharing that. Hiranga, I can see you have raised your hand. Go ahead, over to you.
What I experience is stay calm and just point out what I want to say, my thoughts, and just wait until that person fits with and calm down, come to a certain level. That person do understand what I want to say. That's what I experience, but I didn't lose my inner peace or get shaken with that other person's anger. Maybe try to provoke me with a smile, waiting, and just observe how he changed, how that person changed time to time the conflicts in his mind, and he do realize what I have said, and then come back and come to the certain good conversation. That's what I expect. Just want to share with him. Thanks.
Good. Good. There are some people like you can deal But if you face with the real conflict, just try. Try sometimes the, have the conflict.
I think we have, I can see Venerable Rohini is.
So it is not a close friend, there is no close relation.
I think Venerable Rohini should come back soon. Hiranga, we'll give another 2-3 seconds. She should be, I can see she's there. Venerable Rohini, you need to unmute.
Sorry, Rohini, we lost you
a little. So what, if you can just repeat what you were telling Hiranga, because I think your internet dropped and we lost you a little. Venerable, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear. But I want to tell it like that. You know, sometimes we can't. It depends on the relationship between the other person. So if you are, you know, like someone like mine, my close friend or close relative or a son or daughter, you know, like that, it is not easy. So, but Hiranga said is right in certain extent. But some people can deal like that. I would like to hear from her. Is that improve while she is practicing mindfulness or not in future time?
That is improved. This is with my very close relationship in the family. So, with the mindful practice, just I can, beginning I can manage, and then improved, and I can keep my peace and let that be a person calm down and change within himself, that himself and calm down. So that's what I experience.
Good to hear.
Thank you, Hiranga, for sharing that experience. Venerable, I have a very similar experience and a question from that. So like Hiranga said, usually with mindfulness practice, I can see sort of, you know, the mind, you know, the thoughts arising. And then as soon as I see it, you know, it disappears, and so I detach with that thought, and then it just goes away. My question is, now when it comes to children particularly, you know, especially if, you know, they need to, I need to guide them to do something wholesome. So again, I notice my inner thoughts, and then when I notice it, it disappears, and then I leave it, it goes away. Now, my question is, I at the same time, there's an inner thing that says to me whether I have a responsibility, because just because I'm calm and there's no conflict, but is there a responsibility for, as a parent, for me to guide my child to something wholesome? At which point, how do I address it with them? That's my question.
Good question, actually, because that is the most difficult conflicts within family. I mean, especially parents and children. So I don't think giving advice is making any conflict. You know, how you give is the important thing. How you deliver it. So I should say like this. You know, if in my experience, how my husband says while I was in lay life, and to things to my children is completely different from mine. So what, how I see is different from him. Because if you are practiced more and more mindfulness, then you can trigger, you can see or you can feel the right time and right words. Because the making conflict is most of the time make that the wrong words. Wording is the main issue. So when you get angry or when you have feeling that inside you, yeah, I have to say something. I have to say this is wrong. I need to say. So that boiling thoughts don't give any good wording. So if you can calm down, if you can take your mind into your body sensation at that time and you calm down your body, then you will find right wording. If you deliver right wording, I don't think there will be any conflicts. So even Buddha says, whatever you say, it should be true. Although it is truth, it should be a good time to deliver. Even it is a good time, if he is not going to accept it, don't deliver. So when a time comes, time will come soon or later, when he or she will accept what you say. So just wait. Because conflict between parents and children, it go long last sometimes. This is especially with the teenagers. So need to be careful. Use your wording in right way and be patient. Take the right time. Although it is what you are saying is good for her or him, although what you are saying is true, but keep in mind that the teenagers or whoever, are they ready to listen? If they don't, you are wasting word, you are wasting your time and making conflict. So, yeah, you need to be mindful as well as thoughtful.
Thank you, Venerable. Just if I may ask a very quick question leading from that. You mentioned that how when you were in your lay life, like when your husband would address it differently to you, when that situation happens and you feel your husband's approach is different, what do you do in that situation? Do you just let it be?
No, it is not approaching me. It's approaching
the child.
Children.
Yes, the same situation that I'm, that's why I'm asking.
Yeah. For example, when my daughter is in university, so whenever we call her, especially when he call her, so she's saying, okay, I'm at the gym, at the middle of night, somewhere like 10 o'clock in the night or so. So he's so, how do you call? It's not acceptable for him. So he's scolding her or something like that. So whenever she told me the same thing, so I'm not scolding her. I'm just saying, okay, if it is secure enough, if you feel it's secure enough, it's okay. So likewise, what you, even within me, I have that burning sense, you know, what will happen. That is within me. I know that and I can see it, but I don't express that into words. So that is the difference, the wording.
Wording. Thank you. Thank you very much, Venerable. Now, Manta, I can see you have a question.
Apologies, Venerable Manu. I think I dropped out during my earlier statement. I really don't expect a particular answer on that, just that I wanted to provide a statement saying that with mindfulness practice, I was able to develop more options to exercise and choose from at each instance compared to previous, and I also could drill down and understand the the other issues like the other person's anger or his skill level, expertise or his intentions or her intentions in a much wider scope and depth than before. So that is how it helped me. So I felt more confidence, much more confidence in me when tackling any issue, be it from a senior manager, parallel colleague or somebody at a lower level in the hierarchy, whatever. So that's just what I wanted to say. I'm sorry I dropped out.
It's true, Namantha. It's really true. Because if you are mindful, it's a very, it have energy that you don't worry about anyone else or you don't afraid of anyone. That is the power of mindfulness, actually.
Yes, it is. Yes. Mm. Yes, Venerable Maniya. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I can see Hiranga has raised her hand as well. Over to you, Hiranga. I think today is a very, it's becoming
yeah,
a very long.
Yeah, I have a lot to say. Avasarai, Manuel. What I have experienced with the children, they give a very good points why they have a conflict, why they don't disagree with me. So if we listen, not my one, their one properly, we can address that very well. We can say in their words, how can they understand what I'm saying. So that's my experience. Not always work, but sometimes, most of the time helps. Thank you.
Yeah, the children, they explain their side according to the, you know, what we are, you all are in a foreign country. So what we still, we expect be a Sri Lankan. So that is the main issue in these countries. So the children is not agree with that. Definitely they don't agree with it. If you come here, you need to be, if you go to the owl's place, you need to hang. You can't ask chairs. So they are pointing out those facts. So that's why we can't argue with them. But still, if as long as they are safe and they are doing their future in a good way, if we can accept in a certain way, I don't think we need to argue with them. The argument doesn't make any good, especially with children. If you go argue with them, they lose their respect also. So if there's a point that the conversation being came to an argument level, please stop. That is the best thing.
Thank you, Venerable, and thank you, Hiranga. Samantha, you have your hand raised.
Yeah, just a quick question, Venerable, because I'm mindful of the time as well. So basically, in a nutshell, what are we saying is that if one is mindful and within that silent, that moment, the answer will somehow come to you, how to deal with the situation.
I'm not saying answer will come. I'm saying answer not will come. Answer, you need to find the answer, but wording will come. And how to deal, like, you know, if the angry person deal in the same situation is different from a mindful person.
Yes, I see what you mean. The solution, yes. One will find the solution within.
Maybe same solution delivered by the two people. One is mindful and the other one is not mindful. But in the different way, as I told before, the wording is different. And the how you, the tone is different. Yeah, there are so many differences between the mindful person and the mindfulness without mindful person. So that difference make not to take you to a conflict situation. That's what I'm saying.
Lovely. Thank you, Venerable. I'll put this to practice now and see what I come up with as well. Thank you, Buddhisaranai.
Thank you, Samantha. And so I think that concludes the discussion for today. Venerable Rohini, thank you so much for your insights and guidance. And it was really nice, I think, also as to hear your experiences as well. And that will really help us in our journey as well. So a lot of merit to you for taking the time to give us this guidance today. With much gratitude, Venerable Rohini, I will hand now over to Manamantha to conclude the program. And a quick thank you to everyone who has shared their experiences and asked questions. Manamantha, over to you.
Thank you very much, Lushani, and thank you for conducting a long session. And also thank you for all the participants who raised and made wonderful questions and raised wonderful questions and made wonderful statements. It really it took us beyond our normal scheduled time, but I feel it is fine because there was a lot to gain from this session today. And much thanks to Venerable Manu for very insightfully providing specific solutions and answers to those questions. So I think we are coming to wrap up to the moment where we will wrap up the program. So Venerable Manu was able to join our session today representing Nisaranamani Forest Monastery to provide valued guidance for our journey in mindfulness. So I would like to thank Venerable Manu and also share merits with Venerable Manu for joining the session and for all this wonderful contribution today for all of us. I would also like to thank and mention with much respect the gratitude towards Venerable Chief Bante, the Chief Abbot of Nisaranamani Forest Monastery, Udayiregama Dhammajiva Mahathero, for insightfully requesting this program to be. And I would also like to thank all the organizers and also Venerable Dhammakusal Thero for initiating and sustaining the program to in this fashion to today's date, and also for keeping the good work going on this. And I would also like to thank all the participants who joined through the Facebook live stream of the Satipatthasala Foundation as well as this Zoom session, and wish all of you can progress with in your journeys on mindfulness with the accrued merits and shared merits of this program today. So we would be wrapping up the program, and I wish all of you will have a very wonderful week ahead with lots of gains on mindfulness practice, advancement on mindfulness practice, and we will see you next week at the same time with a similar session on mindfulness. Thank you so much and have a wonderful week ahead. Thank you. I will end the Zoom session now.